whenever two people meet, there's really six people present.
How many people are here?
There's each the man he sees himself, as he sees himself, each man as the other person sees him, and each man as he really is.
William. All of us are in here right now?
All, there's six of us in here now.
What a nightmare.
And then with you listeners, I don't even know how many.
That's
you
so are legion. Bizarre. Go, 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 go,
go, go, go, Charlie. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
This is our birthday episode.
Can you believe it?
We are six.
Hey You Know It is 6 years old.
6 years old.
A show every week.
Yes.
Except in the beginning.
Except in the very beginning. And if you have not, if this is your first episode, oh man.
Yeah.
You gotta go back way back in time, the Wayback Machine, and listen to some of the old stuff.
Right.
But also, if you've been a dedicated listener for a while, it's always nice to go back and revisit episode one.
Where? Which is horribly painful.
Which is hard to listen to. We didn't know what we were doing.
We were reading directly and just like reading our opinions.
Yes.
We wrote them out.
We had bits that we worked on. I claim to have been a member of Faith No More.
No, a roadie. You were a roadie for Faith No More.
A roadie for Faith No More.
And your friends believed it.
Yeah. We debated politics. We just did whatever. But it's been 6 years and now we have segments.
Yeah. We've morphed into this one thing. And one of the things.
Much like Sharknado, a cultural juggernaut.
Yeah. But people ask us, because sometimes we come in and our segments seem to be, like, planned out, but they're not.
They're not. It's just, you know.
We just have one brain.
Great minds think alike. And Google is limited, people.
Yeah.
Google is limited.
Sometimes we get on the internet and we scrape the bottom. We reach the bottom of the internet.
I've actually gone through the other side of the internet and just come out with the same crap.
Yeah.
It's the same on both sides.
It's the same. And there's so many. What we found out, there's so much plagiarism.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
So once you start looking into a topic.
Yeah.
So say penises.
Yeah.
Or advice. It's just over. Everyone steals from everybody. There's maybe at some point in the internet there was originality.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's just reportage on reportage on reportage.
Yeah. You can cut and paste in Google an article and like 10 articles pop up with it.
But what we do here is we put a fresh spin on it.
We do.
We do something that Google can't do, which is talk over each other. So how do you want to kick off with it? I'd like to say that this episode is brought to you by Tasteful White Wine in a 6 ounce bottle.
That's right.
Tasteful White Wine. It's a screw top, people. I put mine on ice because classy and drinking it with a straw.
That's right.
Katie always went up at me taking it right from the bottle.
You know. Because why waste time?
Yeah.
Why waste a glass?
Why waste time at all?
Yeah. So thank you, Jaquetta, for bringing that. You were the one that was thoughtful.
I went to the one place where I knew I could get it. It just says liquor store.
Oh.
And it's one of the places where you go in and they're like, what can we get for you, hon? And you just, they're like, do you need a bag? I'm like, do I look like I need a bag? I already put it in my purse.
It's in my purse.
It's in my bag.
Yeah.
We're done. It's over. So what do you want to kick off with for our birthday show?
So we're 6 years old.
Yeah.
And I just want to start out with one of our segments that we always do is Tales from the Campfire.
So Tales from Dirt Campfire, this is a spooky birthday, from Dirt Campfire, is a segment where we go onto the internet and we find ghost stories, fake lore, folklore, urban legends, tales of the paranormal, of myth, of horror, of magic, and we retell them here.
Around the digital campfire.
So please, everyone, for our birthday, gather around.
Okay. So this one is called A Birthday Haunting.
Okay. I'm ready.
Okay.
To get haunted.
This story happened during my papa's birthday way back in 2004.
Okay. Was it Big Papa? Or just Papa?
It was almost midnight of September 15th, that year when my dad decided to go home after having some good time with his friends.
Okay. Some good time?
Anytime. I can sing that whole song.
Really?
Don't make me sing
it. Okay. I won't. But I'm impressed. That goes under the category of Katie Kazmir knows black people. Okay,
so he was having a good time with his friends. He's not easy to get drunk, and he just has a couple bottles.
Okay.
So
he's sure.
Our house is 10 years, was inside a high school campus, so we need to pass by an old school building, as well as trees that stood there for God knows how long.
Wow, just tired old trees. Cut them down already. Screw them.
God knows how long these trees.
Who knows? Have been. You could find out by cutting one open, but.
My dad is halfway to our house when he spotted a lady somewhat floating above the ground near a bamboo tree inside the campus.
Okay.
He ignored it, thinking it was just one of the residents.
She's a lady.
But floating above the ground. But when he came to his senses, he thought it was odd for a woman to be in that area in the middle of the night.
Floating as she was. Was that the problem?
No.
The problem was that what is that lady doing here?
Yeah. In this area.
In this part of town. In this economy.
He decided to approach the lady, but when he looked at the direction and where he saw her, no trace of the woman was found.
Okay.
Well, he shoved it off and continued to walk home.
He did. You're going to Sally Kellerman.
Am I?
Yes. Which is the best.
My okay. Sally Kellerman reading voice.
Yes.
When he was near the volleyball court of the campus, he saw that below the jackfruit, there was a man wearing a tuxedo.
What the hell?
Okay, this is from, the Philippines.
Okay.
Okay, sorry, everyone.
I was going to say jackfruit. Where is this? This is the exotic
high school. I would love some jackfruit. I don't even know what that is.
I'm going to guess it's like breadfruit. I don't know. Okay.
There was a man wearing a tuxedo with an old-fashioned hairstyle standing there looking at him. He summoned all his courage and confronted the man, but it just vanished when he was just 5 feet away.
Okay. So now that lady is gone away. A dapper gentleman has disappeared as well.
That's when he dashed off to our house and woke us all to tell the story.
Okay.
The school I'm referring to got a fair share of wartime memories and was used as a garrison during the Japanese War. Most of the rooms are the old quarters of Japanese soldiers.
Okay.
There are a lot of other sightings on campus. Thanks for reading.
That's creepy. So it's not only is it a disused school, but it was also barracks.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of ghost potential there.
Yeah.
So what do you think it was?
It was a good. Well, then we've got the comments.
Okay. Wait, what was the birthday part of it?
It was the father's birthday.
It was
throwing
birthday.
A couple of back.
Okay.
With his friends. And his father
could drink. And easy to get drunk.
Yeah. Okay. So then people, they read the story. They're like, when you say floating above the ground, why did your father only react to her being there in the area so late at night?
Yeah, that's the problem. Because women float on the reg.
Yeah.
Right.
It isn't to say I don't believe your story, but I'm just a little confused. Best wishes.
Best wishes and good luck on crafting a better story in the future.
And another person writes, I was just thinking about a couple of bottles, and the Lady Glow has clearly put it out to you. Please do respond. Because, again, could you please respond?
People want more.
Yeah. I'm not to say it wasn't believable, but 2 bottles of alcohol is quite a quantity, and that's why I have doubts.
Okay, I guess I was thinking a couple bottles of beer.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought, too.
But maybe not. Maybe this guy had a couple bottles of the hard, what is it, Thai stuff?
Yeah, and someone else writes, you say it's not easy for him to get drunk. He just had a couple of bottles. Could you be more specific?
Wow.
About the size and kind of alcoholic drink your father had. If not water, perhaps beer. A couple of bottles is a lot of alcohol in someone's system. I think hallucinations wouldn't be impossible at such a state of intoxication. So everyone's hung up on the bottles.
Yeah.
And why didn't the father say, get more bent out of shape about the floating?
I mean, this person thought they were just putting a story, but it's turned into a workshop model here.
Yeah.
Where they're being schooled on what they need to do to improve their storytelling.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm hung up on that too. I'm like the bottles. I'm like, what? Okay, so how drunk was he?
Mm-hmm.
A little drunk, smashed, foobar, like, you know, what was the situation?
Yeah, and why, and again, it was just this woman floating and nobody had anything.
And then the dapper gentleman. But they didn't say that they were Japanese.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, or had anything to do with the setting.
Right.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so that's the birthday haunting. So if you were to drink on our birthday.
Which
is what we're doing.
Which is going to happen, progress.
Right. So what if we saw something? I mean,
if we both saw it, then we're fucked. If one of us sees it, the other person can be like, well, you had a few.
Yeah, that's true.
But if we both see it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, what would we see? Like, a shadow person?
Yeah, what would it... If we were to see a ghost, what kind of ghost would we see?
It
probably a shadow person.
I'm thinking a shadow person as well.
We don't have time for a poltergeist.
No.
And they're nonsense.
I'm not having it.
Yeah.
Frankly. Like, I'm not having
anything,
it.
Yeah.
A shadow person. I'm the kind of person who would probably try to keep looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I thought I saw something like that, I would definitely want to investigate. And, you know, we've been drinking already, so who knows where that might go.
Yeah.
Probably would end up with accosting a stranger.
Right.
But who looks like what I think we saw.
If I saw something strange and totally out of place, I'd be like, there's got to be a reason.
Yeah. Like, what are we, in the theater district?
Yeah.
like this. Yeah, I'm skeptical as you are.
Right.
So, since we are six, I looked this thing up on angeltherapy.com. It says the meaning of the number six. I know you
We can, yeah, we can talk about this together because, 6 years. What is that?
6 years. What does six mean?
What does it mean?
So, it says the number six refers to earthly matters. Mm-hmm. And this podcast is well grounded in the dirt. It's earthy.
It is earthy for sure.
Salty, even. It says you can find naturally occurring instances of six and magnified photos of water crystals and snowflakes.
Oh.
If you slice open a tomato or a bell pepper, you'll often find six chambers. And honeycombs are shaped a six-sided hexagon. So it refers to things that are natural, that are of the earth, much like our podcast, which just rolls off the tongue.
Right. It sure does.
So what do you have for six? I guess we can go back and forth.
Yeah, it says number six is the symbol of completeness.
Okay. Oh, I don't have that one.
It symbolizes beauty and high ideals.
Wow.
And it's the Pythagoreans acknowledge the number six to be the first perfect number.
Yes, because six is the only number that three sequential numbers equal.
Yeah.
So 1, 2, and 3.
1, 2, and 3.
It's also... It's a Granville number, so it's the equals the sum of its dividers.
Okay, did they come up with that and be like, perfect?
I don't know. I have, you know, I have a very good friend who's a mathematician. I will consult with her on this.
Number six is the symbol of luck, the highest number of the dice.
Okay.
And a six-year anniversary in Western tradition, sugar or candy is the mark. So
really?
We need to have something sweet, which we're having.
Why? Also iron. Mm-hmm. I read too. So it's sugar, something sweet, but also something made of iron, which is strange. Something made of iron.
It's also the symbol of Venus, the goddess of love. And it's also the, in the tarot cards, it is the card of the lover.
I didn't know
that. So it's about love.
Oh, okay. Much like our podcast.
It's like all the
our
love.
Our podcast is
that
love.
We ooze. Yeah.
But it's also, for those who are into the Christian religion, the number six is evil.
Yeah.
You put three of them together and it puts together the mark of the beast.
Yeah, it figures because all of the other things that we're talking about, tarot and this and that, it's all about love
it's all
that.
Good.
And so then when the Christians
flip
get
it over.
Yeah.
So it says here, and this is from the King James Version of the Bible. It says 18, the number 18, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 666. It's bizarre. So I think that I was thinking about this. This could probably be interpreted different ways. Mm. It doesn't always, I think, have to be a negative thing.
Yeah.
That is 666. But in angel numbers, it's 616.
Mm.
And it says to keep your thoughts positive about earthly needs. So six is also about materialism, about finance or earthly worries.
Okay.
Right? So you can think about those, but don't dwell on them too much.
Okay.
You should think about your material needs, but also think about your spiritual or mm-hmm. higher needs as well, the number six. It says it's also sacred geometry. Star of David, six-pointed star.
All right.
6 points are often symbols of healing and of health.
Oh,
as
okay.
well.
That's
so
good.
Some good stuff.
And then it's also the sixth sense, the
I see dead people.
ESP.
Okay.
So Tales from the Campfire. Maybe we should do more ESP stories.
Oh, we don't really talk about ESP that
we
much.
Should.
It's not as popular now, but we can bring it back.
Because we can talk. I mean, we could talk about it, but what proof is there?
In year 7, we can bring it back.
All right.
We're bringing ESP back. Hey.
Let's see. Juno was also the patroness of marriage, and that's about number 6.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I'm thinking.
Oh, because it's 6 months.
Yeah, June is the 6 months. June is named after Juno. Juno was the queen goddess in Roman mythology, married to Jupiter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Numbers. I also have here for 6th anniversary. It has traditional gifts, ideas, and more. So you brought up the thing about sugar.
Yeah.
So it says candy, which represents sweetness,
mm-hmm.
is a traditional idea for the 6th anniversary. But iron, which is indicative of strength, is also traditional for the 6th anniversary. So I found this on The Nest, which is a site that I hated when I was getting married, and I hate it now. It's just like all wedding stuff. It drives mm-hmm. people crazy. Like really to get married, all you need is a partner and somebody who will wave something over you. And
yeah.
Say
right.
And then a piece of paper, either from your religious situation or from the government.
Yeah. That's
whatever.
It. That's all you need.
But they're saying here, so for the candy, they say a box of chocolates or do a nostalgic candy assortment, customized M&Ms, which I've seen those, but you just kind of eat them.
Yeah.
Like, when things are customized, I don't want to use it.
Yeah.
I feel bad.
I did the M&M. For a friend's, somebody's shower, baby shower, I did the pink and blue M&Ms. And that was when it was novel. It was, oh, my goodness, how did you get M&Ms this color?
Back in the day. Now you can, we could have, and I looked up this, we could take our logo and have it printed on M&Ms. Why? Why would you want that? So here are some other things that you can, they say, chocolate-covered strawberries for a 6th anniversary. I say, don't wait for the anniversary for that. They also put in here candy-flavored lube and condoms. Are those still popular?
I guess.
I feel like that was something that was like in the 90s, like funny condoms.
Novelty condoms,
that kind of thing, like in the back of Spencer's gift.
Yes.
Novelty condoms, chocolate body paint, candy necklaces, a gumball machine, the whole thing.
The whole gumball
machine. The gumball machine, candy striper lingerie, which is, so you said, live out the patient nurse fantasy. I was a candy striper when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. It was the worst job I ever had. It really was all, I was just in a hospital.
Like, yeah, and you're pushing around a book cart.
Yes, with no skills. I had no skills whatsoever. Like, I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing.
Yeah, oh, and it's so hard, and you're dealing with people and all.
Everybody, people dropping like flies, or they're going, you know, it's just like, what do you, I was like 14, like, what am I doing? I lasted one day. I ate the food in the cafeteria, and I was out of there.
Yeah.
So, Willy
there's
Wonka.
There's another bad job at the hospital. There was somebody who was played the harp and went around to different rooms and could play the harp for you.
If I hear
in
that
a
shit.
Hospital.
That sounds like death.
It sounds like death. And if people are on medication, it's like, forget it. They think that the angels are there for them.
Were they wearing a white flowing robe, too? And like kind of they just breeze into the room unannounced and start playing the harp?
This was years ago. My brother had his appendix out. And my other brother and I walked down the hall and found the harp player. And we were like, go to room 310. And we laughed and laughed. We thought it was the funniest.
How did he feel about it?
He laughed.
Okay.
And he was laughing, and it was like, my stitches.
I would have been like, who put this in here?
Yeah.
I would have sent him right back. They're also saying take a trip to Hershey, PA. So for the iron, this is what they say, for gifts of iron, power tools, cast iron cookware, wrought iron decor. Oh. You know. Wrought iron decor. If you only think of fences when you think of wrought iron, you're missing out.
Oh.
Wrought iron is used for rustic furniture and wall hanging. Great for a spouse.
Oh.
Iron jewelry.
Oh.
I have never seen iron jewelry before. Like
I've chain never,
manacles? Is that what you're talking about?
Do you really want like an iron choker?
That's what it's chains.
Yeah.
Right? An iron sculpture. An Iron Man. Just watch the movie.
Yeah.
Oh. Here you go.
Yeah.
Happy anniversary. And then the last one, also they said watch The Man in the Iron Mask.
No, Don't do that. Here's a saying about the... Number 6. Whenever two people meet, there's really 6 people present.
Huh?
There is
each... How many people are here?
There's each the man he sees himself, as he sees himself, each man as the other person sees him, and each man as he really is.
William, all of us are in here right
and
now?
All, there's 6 of us in here now.
What a nightmare.
And then with you listeners, I don't even know how many.
That's
you
so
are
bizarre.
Legion.
So it's the person that I think, the man I think I am, the man you see, and then...
And you as you really are.
Who I really am.
And then me.
And then all of your people as well. That is bizarre.
All of my people.
Yeah. Oh, you have your people talking.
My
to you.
Crew.
You know, I roll deep. So I found this article here. It says, is throwing your own birthday party rude?
Is it?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to find out. So there's a picture of Sarah Jessica Parker. That's rude.
Don't care for Sarah Jessica Parker.
That is an understatement. It says, so here's the thing. Technically, according to Miss Manners and other old school etiquette experts, throwing or organizing your own birthday celebration is rude.
What?
This is one of those rare areas where this person, this is Victoria Pratt, she disagrees. And I disagree as well.
I disagree too.
It's in the kind of lifestyle that most of us lead. If I don't start organizing like way ahead of time, it may be almost impossible for my friends to somehow contact each other and trying to make sure everyone is going to be there and pick a time. It's a lot easier if the person is just like, hey, this is the thing. This is what we're doing. It says here,
the idea that everyone pays for themselves. And it's not
it's not, I mean, or if you're having a party, a lot of people have a party at their house. You know. So the reason they consider it to be rude is that there's a traditional expectation that where you are invited to a birthday party, you will bring a birthday present. And if you were throwing the party for yourself, you were asking people to bring you gifts, which is not polite. I generally, when I have parties, I don't say don't bring anything. Mm-hmm. And that means bring wine or booze.
Yeah,
right?
That's it.
Or if you want to bring a snack or something, you know.
Or just like any party, you bring something. Yeah. You bring a bottle of wine.
Flowers. Yeah. Like, you never go to anyone's house. I don't know, no one's right. asking for gifts, mm-hmm. you know. Most people don't even really exchange gifts. Yeah. You know too many people. So it says here, in discussion of adult birthday parties, which just sounds sketchy.
Yeah.
Party poopers also like to bring it up that is about honoring yourself and being a bit me. What's your fucking birthday? Mm-hmm. Who else is it going to be about? So if you throw me a party now, all of a sudden I'm selfless?
Yeah. Right.
It's not about me?
Right. No, I think everybody throws themselves the parties.
Unless a good friend is doing a surprise party or they're saying, let me do it for you. But most people, no, they do their own.
Right. If it's a milestone birthday. If it's
maybe.
30 or 40.
Yeah. I think I've usually have thrown pretty much all of my birthday parties.
Yeah, you have fun parties when you throw them.
I like to throw them.
One of my favorites was the party bus.
Yeah, one year for my birthday, I rented a party bus in honor of New Jersey. Because that's when I think of New Jersey and a party, I think of party buses. So we rented a party bus. I told everybody when it was, we picked up people around the city. We got trashed.
It was, but the bus itself was a short bus.
It was a short bus.
But it had
and
seats.
We made it even shorter.
Yeah. It had seats around the perimeter and then stripper poles.
Stripper poles, yeah.
Stripper poles.
There was also
blacked
at one
out
point,
windows.
There were lights and then we had dry ice. I think there was some smoke.
And
well.
It was coconut scented smoke that nobody could see in. And there was.
It was fun.
Lots of music.
We got pizza. We got booze.
Yeah, everybody that came on brought a bottle of something.
Yeah.
And we stopped for pizza and stopped for the bathroom.
Yeah, we rolled around.
And yes, all your guests were standing on a corner somewhere in the city.
Yeah, and we picked them up.
At a certain time. And so you didn't know who was going to get on the bus. Yeah. Like, I didn't know. And I'm like, hey, you.
Well, the people who got on first at the beginning were like, what's going on? What's going to happen? I'm like, don't worry. We picked you up. We will pick other people up.
That was the funniest.
Oh, yeah.
That was a
great
time. Everyone's dancing. And we're stuck in traffic most of the time. So we're just dancing in
traffic. But I feel like that's a New York thing to do. Because it's like, how else am I going to get everybody? The best thing for you to do in New York is pick them up. We picked up people after work. We picked up people like the people came into Penn Station. Mm-hmm. Just made it easy for everybody.
And that's all they did, just driving around, picking people up.
Yeah.
They were texting, come and get me now.
We stopped at we got like a platter of like cheeses and like other kind of like canapes from like a supermarket. Mm-hmm. Like we just kept it rolling.
Mm-hmm. So, and it was lots of fun getting off the bus to use the bathroom somewhere. People are like, what's going on?
Yeah. So it says here that I find that at least in my social circle, people are incredibly busy, which is what I'm saying, and they might bow out of a party just because, you know, that's how it is. So if you want people to be at your party, the best thing to do is just organize it yourself, put it together yourself, let everybody know what's going on. I don't think it's rude at all. They said there are some things you can do that will make your birthday party impolite, which is weird.
Impolite.
An impolite party. Expect birthday gifts, especially by making and distributing a registry.
Yeah.
Has that ever happened to you, a birthday registry?
Nope.
I don't know. Okay. It says, also don't mention gifts in the invitation. Who says that? Even to say no gifts. No, I tell people no gifts.
No, you tell them no gifts.
No gifts. If you want to bring something, bring booze, as we said, or food or something. Mm-hmm. With a dinner at a restaurant, you're going to mostly want to invite very close friends. So it doesn't seem like you're inviting people so they will chip in for your dinner. Okay, you're not going to pay for that dinner anyway if it's your birthday.
Yeah.
Who does that?
Right.
Everyone's going to chip in. They're going to figure it out.
So it's like pay for yourself another $10.
Yeah, and then another $10 for the birthday boy
that's
or
girl. That's what I mean.
It says if you want to invite a bunch of people, have a party at a bar, fine. Mm-hmm. Or throw it at your house, fine. If it's your social circle's custom, our social circle... I think it's more like in a meet. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
To split birthday person's dinner, then don't argue when the time comes to pay the check. I don't argue. I sit on my hands. I mean, really?
Yeah.
You know, who's gonna let the birthday person pay? That's rude. Usually, because now we're a little bit older, that's discussed beforehand. We're like, if Katie tries to pay, just swat her.
Yeah.
Like, don't let her do it. Or you could do it Greek style. You put your credit card up there at the beginning and don't let anybody else deal with it.
I tell you, on one of my birthdays, I came home after being with you and your husband.
Did we get
my purse?
Cash? Yeah.
My purse had cash, booze. I think there were cookies in there. There was, like, you kept just putting stuff in my purse.
It was kind of like a little game throughout the birthday that we were like, let's get more stuff in there. Because we were like, she's going to try to pay. We're like, well, we'll let her pay, but then we'll just sneak the money back in. So, we put some food, some snacks and shit in there, some, like, bottles.
Yeah, there, and I kept opening up, like, what is this? I got a scratch-off card. I got cash.
You're like, I can't even move this bag. It's so heavy. Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was fun.
Yeah.
Putting stuff in people's bags.
Yeah.
It says pick a restaurant that is a normal price range. Yes. I have definitely gone to birthday party dinners of people who are much more affluent than me and been like, word, what are we, a boulet up in this, you know, like, come on, I don't, you know, you have to be sensitive that, especially if you have a range of friends, say you have some friends who are from 20s to like 60s, you have to be aware that the younger people who are just starting out with their careers probably can't throw out a C note.
Yeah.
For your party.
Yeah.
And it says, be careful how you phrase invitations. Please join me for a dinner at Bistro. Sounds like you're planning on paying for everything.
Yeah, watch that.
Yeah. If that happened to you before. As opposed to, I'm celebrating my birthday at Bistro, and I would love to see you if you can make it. I send people the link. I'm like, the average price of things are $30, or I try to do something where it's, you know, it's everything's pretty much the same. You know, you pick a restaurant where it's easy to figure out what is he doing. You get pictures, or you have some kind of, you know, you call up the bar and be like, give us a break or something like that. So it's I'm saying that they're saying no one cares nowadays that bride and grooms host their own wedding. Yeah, most people's parents are not paying for that shit anymore. Yeah. You host your own birthday party. And I guess the idea is that you just have to be upfront with people about what the commitment is going to be in terms of, like, cash. I don't think it's rude, though.
No, it's not rude.
We all organize our
things. We've all taken it. You don't do it every single year.
No.
You know? Like, I need to.
But it's, like, generally, if you want to do something big, I think, in New York, you're better off putting it together yourself. Because only you know all of your friends and what everybody can handle.
And it's stressful doing a surprise party for your spouse or somebody else. Like, oh,
I've done one. And it was so stressful. I think I lost weight. I mean, it was like, I didn't think it was good. You know what I mean? You've planned surprises. Yeah. It's hard.
It's really hard.
And you're relying on people to, you know, because you have to act normal. So you got to get some asshole to go get the cake, sneak that in. You got to, like, be going around. Then you have to contrive some kind of reason why you're meeting in, like, Turtle Bay on a Wednesday at a bar neither of you have ever heard of.
Yeah.
Talking about, we got to go here.
Yeah.
It's, you know? like that kind of stuff.
Exactly. I think we got to the point, it's like, for you and me over the years, for our birthdays, we've been like, all right, what night are you free?
Yeah. Sometimes it's like a month after the birthday.
Yeah.
The birthday is long gone.
And then it's dinner and lots booze, of drinks.
And lots of drinks. And that's the birthday.
Yeah. And it's fine.
It's fine.
And it's perfect.
We organize it ourselves.
Yeah.
It's a group effort.
It's between two.
Yeah. Two and people can get us together. All right, so what do you have?
So a couple of questions, good questions. When I was perusing the internet, this is, other than humans, are there any other animals that celebrate their birthdays on their own?
Hmm. You mean alone?
No, it's like any other animals that understand it's their birthday.
Oh, I was thinking, celebrate. Like, if there's a bear who's like, I'm just going off by myself today. I don't want any bullshit.
On their own.
In my grill, or the bears.
I don't need
nothing.
This. Just need to, I have to think about things.
Yeah, I'm in Jersey. What am I doing with my life as a bear?
So does any animal understand its birthday, and will they celebrate? And the answer is no.
No.
But this is because years are a human construct. Well, unlike other things, like weeks, has a real meaning in of itself, and it's artificial.
Yeah, I never thought about them.
So I don't think animals celebrate their birthdays as they don't know what day it is or when they were born. Yeah.
Well, they just make it up. It's today. How do you know? How do you not know? What do you mean I don't know? It's my birthday.
It's my birthday.
Yeah. I mean, I drink on, buzzer on the hive.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Don't tell me it's not just because I don't have a calendar.
Well, you don't even understand what a calendar
that's
is.
That's a human construct.
Yes, it's a human construct.
I go by the B construct.
I do what I want.
Yeah. And then another thing, do ghosts celebrate their own birthday?
I mean,
it depends.
That's a tough one, yeah.
It depends. They have to be, as we talked about ghosts.
Would they celebrate their death? Maybe? What do they say?
Good. Your loved ones in spirit celebrate more than one birthday, including their own and everyone else's they love and know well. This alone can make living in the world of a spirit a very fun and enjoyable place to be.
But also taxing.
Yeah, because you're always going to celebrations.
You're always celebrating.
It's like, give me a break. If you are wondering how you can best celebrate the birthday of your loved one in spirit, simply ask yourself, what would I have done if this person was alive? Then do it.
Kill them.
That's what you want to kill them.
Get a divorce.
Yeah. If you can, make a bigger deal about it. If you have two people to celebrate for, yourself and your loved one, thus it needs to be twice as big and double the fun.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
I kind of like that. I mean, I always say, like, when I kick it, I don't want to have a funeral.
Mm-hmm.
I would just have like a $10,000 tab at my favorite bar, mm-hmm. and then just not say anything. As the people come in all day, it's like, what do you mean it's free? But you could do that for your birthday after you're gone. Do that every year on your birthday. Mm-hmm. There could just be, you know, a tab somewhere set up for you, so that people right. will remember.
Well, if
who
you would,
were.
If you would like them to celebrate your birthday with you, this is a spirit. Like, okay. If you want a ghost to.
Ask them
to. First of all, you.
Did they bring a gift?
Well, if you'd like a gift, expect a sign from a spirit, like a certain flower or some kind of wildlife sign. You can ask for it and say, you know, if you're there.
So even in death, I'm still bringing motherfuckers. Like,
yeah, it could be like, I want to see a wolf on my birthday. Can you arrange that for me? And then
hook that up.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I'll get up there and be like, this is a bear. That's not what I asked for. I clearly said wolf. Send it back.
Then you can also, they say, is it a birthday or a death day? What is more important to a ghost?
Okay. That's what I was thinking. Maybe the death?
They said birthdays.
Huh. I wonder why. I would want to come back and haunt on the day of my death, you know, every year. Get it out there. Rattle a few chains.
If you're going to remember anything at all, please remember the fact that your loved one in spirit was born, lived with you, and enjoyed life with you all the while, because they still are doing just that. You don't want to celebrate their death day.
Yeah, I guess I'll get. I mean, I guess it's like, because you will pour a little out mm-hmm. on their death day, but you have a party, you know, drink to them or with them on their birthday.
And on their death day, the remembrance is a loss.
Okay.
And it's a celebration of an absence, not a present.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they say. Not everyone is so beloved.
Yeah, so anyway, but yeah, you can get your loved one to celebrate. If they're dead, a spirit, anybody. If you have a connection, just you don't have to love them. But if you have a connection,
you're not getting out of celebrating my birthday just because you're dead.
Send a wolf
my way.
Yeah, or something like
not a coyote, a wolf. Yeah. Let me be clear.
I want to see a picture of one. I want to meet one.
Yes.
I want a wolf cake. Somehow make it happen.
I want to wear a wolf to sing to a happy birthday to me in the style of Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah. Right.
So I have a thing here, some number 6 numerology.
Okay.
It's from numerology.com. So I don't know much about numerology, but this is pretty interesting. So it says, in numerology, each of the 9 single-digit numbers has a personality.
Yes.
Limited range of qualities and traits that make it unique and recognizable.
Uh-huh.
So while the number 6 is considered to be the most harmonious of all single-digit numbers, it is not without flaws.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that was coming. The most important influence of the 6 is its loving and caring nature. It's properly nicknamed the motherhood number.
Oh.
I couldn't be less like this number. It is all about sacrificing, mm-hmm. caring, healing, protecting, and teaching.
Blah.
No family or community can function without 6.
Fine.
There are times, however, and this is where it goes south, where when 6 becomes too involved in the lives of others, becomes meddling,
mm-hmm.
intrusive,
uh-huh.
and controlling. I'm more on that.
Yeah.
Like, more on that
side. I like
side.
Controlling.
Yeah, controlling.
I like powers to make people do things.
Yeah. Nonetheless, even though this 6 can go this way, it's still appreciated and adored. For this reason, 6 is considered... I cut it off. We'll just move on then. 6 is full of sympathy and justice. 6 also withholds information at the top of the page. When 6 proceeds in justice, she will sacrifice all her time and effort to set things straight. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. beating a dead horse.
Yeah, right.
Pissing in the wind, sure. She almost always favors the underdog. Who doesn't like the underdog?
You love the underdog.
I mean, but who is there someone out there who's like, screw the little guy.
Step on the neck of the underdog.
Keep him
they
down.
Have nothing.
But yeah, who cares? 6 can be demanding, but willing to stay in the background when needed.
Mm-hmm.
Idealistic, trusting, and easy to take advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all over the place.
Oh my gosh.
On the negative side, it says 6 carries herself well and moves gracefully and is warm, funny, and jovial. On a career path, she goes a long way due. What does that mean? She generally goes a long way due.
I got you go on interviews. Do you go a long way due?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
100%. I'm still going.
Yeah.
I do. Sixes are found in teaching, healing, counseling, construction, the legal field, law enforcement, especially prison guards.
What?
So bizarre. So it just goes all over. But it says, so it talks about all these different things with six. And then the final word on six is, beware of a cynical or angry six. She is a merciless wolf in sheep's clothing.
Oh, wow. See, we're talking about wolves.
Wolves a lot, huh? Yeah. So bizarre. So number six in numerology. So we were six. We're moving into seven. And you'll have to tune in next year to hear seven.
Yeah.
I can't believe six years.
Six.
Yeah. It's a long time. All right. What do you have?
This was something. 11 words to teach your son before he turns six.
Okay. Just the son?
Just the son.
Okay.
So things we say to our kids help shape their identity. So there's, I guess, anybody you have to
nurture,
mold. Whatever. Let's see. So recently I was helping my youngest son at art camp, and he noticed one little boy falling behind. I touched his shoulder and pointed to the teacher as a reminder to pay attention.
Wait, he noticed or the son noticed?
He noticed. The adult's like, hey, okay. You pay attention.
I thought the kid was like, yo, son.
And I said, why aren't you doing the project? And he started crying. He said, everyone's ahead.
Really?
Yeah, he said, everyone's ahead. I can't do it now. It's too late.
Okay.
And the thing was,
already at six.
Yeah, he was like, and she was like, you could have done it. There are simple steps that were all laid out for him.
But you fucked up.
He could have asked for help. And then he said, oh, do you feel overwhelmed? And he looked at me funny and said, what does overwhelmed mean? And he explains, you're feeling that you get when there's so much happening, you just don't know where to start, so you freeze up. And he's like, yes, I understand.
So now he's going to be talking about how he's overwhelmed.
Yeah, we're going to it. So other words that are going to help people.
Okay.
At any given point, I guess, when they turn six.
When they turn six.
Is lonely.
Okay.
Because they don't understand.
Oh, they might have said alone, but alone and lonely. It's difficult to understand the...
Yeah, loneliness is what happens when you feel like nobody cares about you.
Mm-hmm. You definitely get that at six.
Yeah. But for children, it's hard to understand.
Yeah.
Frustrated is another one. It's not angry. It's not sad. It's something else. It's...
How would you describe it? It's like you're trying to put together the Lego set, and it's just not happening.
Yeah. Imagine having to follow every command of someone else all the time, even if the demands feel illogical.
Mm-hmm. That's being a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, is that frustrated?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, are you going to say illogical?
Frustration?
To
no, well, frustration is when you get upset because you just can't seem to do what you want to do, and maybe you don't even know why you can't do it.
Okay. We call that living.
Yeah.
Look.
Intimidated is the next word.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, when you were...
But they know bully, right?
They will, yeah. But they don't know the feeling is intimidating. They know that's the bully.
But they don't know how to describe what they feel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like intimidate. Okay, what else?
Another one is, that's just not my thing. Huh? The phrase. Yeah, it's a weird one, but some...
Is the next one like, it's not in my wheelhouse or whatever?
It's a way for kids to back out of socially pressured situations without seeming like they're judging others.
Like what? Like on the playground? Like, that's stupid. And they're like, come on, man, play tag. It's like... It's really not what I do.
Yeah.
It's really not my thing. It's like, not my nothing. Thing. If you guys enjoy that,
that's fine.
Have at it.
Yeah.
Monkey bars are my thing.
Yeah.
It's just, the kid sounds like a dick.
Yeah.
It's not my thing. It's not how I do.
Yeah. And this one, the next one is.
I do me. You do you.
Is hangry. Kids don't understand that they can feel angry when they're hungry.
Okay. Hangry? I thought we retired that word.
I know. That was like a new word that nobody likes. And then the other thing that they should know is the proper names for the body parts at six.
Yes, they should. They should know all of the words. Should know the penis, so they don't have to say PP or, you know, whatever other weird.
Vagina and anus.
We were anus? Okay. We were never taught all of the weird, like, so all in my, so I had a lot of friends when I got to school who had weird names mm-hmm. for different body parts when we were kids. I was like, why are you saying that? Why aren't you saying vagina?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, we're like, because that's what we were taught.
Yeah.
Penis, vagina, mm-hmm. breast. Like, we knew what all of these. We still giggled.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But, like, I heard my friends saying things like, pee-pee. And I'm like, what are you talking? Or cat. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Like, they're a hoo-hoo or hoo-hoo
yeah,
or
like,
something.
All these bizarre words.
But the thing is, I think the way it is now... teachers, they have to watch kids and listen to them if they're using words that seem too far above their level, then it's a sign that something's happening to them. And it could be child services could be called.
It could be, or it could be like with my mom who worked for the government and worked in social services and was like, vagina. Like very, very, you know what I mean? Like, so it's, I agree that teachers need to listen for things that are going on, but like they also need to listen to hear if kids are saying some bullshit like pee-pee.
Yeah.
Because when you're 6 years old and you want to be able to explain something about yourself, itch, you heard it, you flashed at somebody, somebody tried to look at it on the playground or whatever, I feel like you need to use the correct terminology.
Yeah.
Anus is just an ugly word.
It really is. It's a hardcore word. It's a tough word.
I prefer butthole. I know that's not... It's not the technical term, but anus is just like...
So when you're in medical school, you'd rather be like...
What do you work on? I'm a butthole doctor. Proctology. I don't know. Anus is weird.
It's
just
word.
Not a fun word.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound good.
It sounds like it hurts.
But also like the little like, hoo-ha and all these like little names for things. You're like, I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know.
Little Tabitha.
And what kind of words... then should we pay attention to as we turn six? We already talk about penises.
Yeah, I think things that are important as you turn six nowadays are probably like lactose intolerance.
Yeah.
Like Tabitha has a lot lactose intolerance and little Ian is like, gluten-free.
Gluten-free,
that
right.
That kind of stuff.
Right, right.
Like words pertaining to fancy people's allergies.
Yeah.
Probably have to be out there. Also, they probably want to know about organic.
Yeah.
And apparently now, I keep hearing these things in schools that you can't serve anything to anybody. Now no one can eat anything. So I guess those kind of things are what six-year-olds are kind of aware of, I guess. I don't know.
And then tolerance. That's another word. Yeah. You got to know tolerance.
Tolerance. Also known as putting up with is what we used to call it.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Right.
Dealing. Putting up with it. Yeah, I'll tolerate that. Oh, I like that for being six. Did we run out of material?
I did.
Okay. So... we'd like to thank everybody.
Everybody that, first of all, you listeners, the show would be nothing without you.
Yeah, who'd be listening?
Nobody would be listening, and we love hearing from you. We like your tweets, your listener mails, the links that you have given us.
Yeah.
We have so many people who have contributed over the years, and we want to thank each and every one of you
for
what
you've
done.
We don't have a list, but you know who you are.
Right. And we'd like to thank all of our guests that have come on. My God, there's like a parade of guests.
Yes.
I think we've had like 50 different guests.
And we're going to be having more guests coming up very shortly. I would like to thank my co-host, Katie Kazmir.
I'd like to thank my co-host, Jaquetta Satmari.
Yeah, and we'll see you for another 6 years, I guess, of podcasting.
That's right.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows. And yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks!
Okay, here's it's a tongue twister. Sixth.
That might be sheeks. Culturally insensitive.
I can't. Forget I...
Was it six? Six?
Sixth, sick, sheeks, sixth, sheep, sick. Can't even...
That doesn't sound right.
Doesn't sound good.
What does
I'm
mean?
Reading it. I have no idea.
Something about Arabs. I don't know. Were you saying sheep or sheik?
Sheep. A sheik first and then a sheep.
Why? I'll tell you, there's something wrong with that.
Yeah.